Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy trade deadline day. And as expected, the Packers weren't exactly active in that arena, though they did make a bunch of transactions today, which we'll get to in a second. But I don't think anyone should be surprised at the fact that the Packers sat still, stood pat, as it were, in the trade market after legit making probably the biggest trade of the NFL year a couple months ago when acquiring Micah Parsons. There was some noise, some rumblings out there of, you know, interest in this guy or that guy, but ultimately not surprised that Brian Gutekunst and company weren't ready to give up more draft capital for, you know, guys who might certainly be able to come in and help. But the window for the Green Bay Packers is not just this year. And I know you look at some of the moves made around the league, certainly by the Colts, but then also by the Seahawks, et cetera, and you think, wow, those are teams really going for it in 2025. And yeah, no question about it. Of course, one of those components that's working in their favor and making them able to do so is the fact that they aren't paying top-tier quarterback money and or record-setting edge money, which the Packers are doing both, along with a premium contract for their right tackle. The Packers have a championship window here for the next few years, but the lack of their first-round picks and the fact that they do have this very, I don't want to say completely top-heavy roster, but it's starting to, you know, get filled with more and more guys being handed premium contracts. They are going to be in need of cheap labor, and that comes through the draft. So the fact that they didn't ship off some, you know, not even premium picks, but mid-round picks this time around doesn't surprise me, shouldn't surprise you. And I think most Packers fans were ready for that and understand that. But always there are going to be some grumbling. I've got people in my mentions talking, oh, same old thing. It's like literally 2 months ago the Packers made the biggest move in the NFL calendar year. But always looking for more. It's a what have you done for me lately league. And coming off a loss like the Packers did against the Panthers, I understand fans thinking and wanting some help. And like I said, they did make a number of moves today. Not that any of them are going to be earth-shattering and championship-defining, but it's part of putting your roster together. I think that's one of the things that kind of gets lost when people talk about the job that really any general manager does, but Brian in particular. You know, they are putting together a roster that not only will compete for, you know, the NFC North or the NFC or, God forbid, a championship, but they're also setting things up for a window, probably a 2 or 3 year window after the Micah Parsons trade. So your moves today from the Packers, the saddest of which, of course, is the placing of Tucker Kraft on injured reserve. While they did sign Aaron Mosby and Josh Wiley from the practice squad, a defensive lineman and a tight end, respectively. Mosby, you've seen on the field for the Packers few times intermittently over the course of the last year or so. Wiley, I thought, had a nice camp, though. No one's going to expect him to come in and make instant impact. He is certainly there mostly to fill the back end of the depth chart. And then on the practice squad, the Packers signed tight end McCallan Castles, who they had in for a workout on Monday, a tight end named Drake Dabney, who I know very little about, Christian Welch, who they had released after the Panthers game. They had signed him to the 53-man roster. They had then released him and now bring him back onto the practice squad. And wide receiver Michael Woods II, who had been with Cleveland for a number of years and who the Packers actually faced in the preseason last year. So those are your acquisitions, moves, what have you. The only other kind of corresponding move, the Packers released Lectius Smith, the offensive lineman, from the practice squad, who they had acquired a couple of weeks ago from after New England let him go. This is his, I believe, third time being with Green Bay. So who knows? He'll probably be back in the future. But those are the housekeeping items. Again, the headline, the Packers returning to their regular scheduled programming. You know, this is the Packers operation, and this is how we've come to know this is how they approach things, right? They're going to backfill from their practice squad guys who have been in their program and been with them throughout the summer, know their system, know their scheme. It's next man up, quite literally. And that is all the news that's fit to print. Hello to everybody in the comment section. So good to see everybody mixing it up as usual. Lots of people. Tim, what's going on? Jim, how are you, buddy? Joseph, good to see you. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is a proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Before any big game, make sure your health is in championship form. With more than 115 years of trusted care and a team of experts in over 60 specialties, ThetaCare keeps athletes and fans alike game day ready, because winning starts with wellness. Check out the link in the description of this video for more information. All right, folks, let's get to it. I know Ryan's starting us off with a humdinger. Here we go. I don't like to see people lose their jobs, says Ryan, but Goody has been GM since 2018. Matt LaFleur has been head coach since 2019. I believe Green Bay has been to three NFC Championship games, but none since 2021. No Super Bowls since they've been in Green Bay. They don't deserve extensions. Ryan, I don't understand why you keep coming in here and saying the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, I appreciate the supports. I will take the super chat. Thank you. I appreciate it. But I'm not going to say anything different. Let me ask you this. Let me frame it this way. You say they don't deserve it because they've been there for a while, blah, 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 and they haven't gone to the Super Bowl, right? Never mind the fact that they did get to the NFC Championship game a couple of times with Aaron Rodgers, and then tore the Band-Aid off, traded Rodgers, inserted their hand-picked new starter, and went to the playoffs immediately when most teams wander the wilderness for a decade plus after they lose a generational quarterback. Packers didn't do that. Packers went right back to the playoffs, won a playoff game, by the way, with their hand-picked quarterback, with the youngest roster in the NFL 2 years in a row. But Ryan doesn't care about any of that. I understand. Super Bowl or bust. It's title town. Some might say in title town. But as I indicated just, I believe, 24 hours ago, what did I say? Can we let it play out? Apparently not. Not for Ryan. But now let me ask you this. They don't deserve it after losing to the Panthers. You're all upset. Were you saying they did deserve it after they wiped the floor with the Lions and Washington Commanders after weeks 1 and 2? No, you weren't. You didn't. You know why? Because that is smart. No one was saying it was time to extend them. We were very excited about it, anxious to see where the season goes. But it wouldn't have been smart to extend them after those two games. Much like it's not smart to call for them to be not extended or fired or whatever nomenclature you want to use when there are 9 games left. Aha! Once again, we come back to letting it play out. Ryan, I'm begging you, take a step back, go cut, touch some grass, feel the wind on your face, and enjoy the rest of the season. At the end of the season, Ed Policy will make a determination. And you can send all the super chats you want in the interim, but nothing is going to change that. It's that simple. But again, I appreciate the support. Chad, what's up, man? This is the first time with LaFleur where I feel like the issue is coaching and not talent. Now on the fence about if he can take them to the next step. That's understandable after that game, man. I very much get where you're coming from. I would say it would help if he had an offensive line. Right now, the offensive line is a bit of a disaster. It is very inconsistent. There are moments. There are plays. There are stretches where they look good, even, you know, well, okay, I won't say dominating, but they do look like a top-flight line here, there, every once in a while. But, man, the whole thing falls apart if you can't block them up in the running game or the passing game. And certainly, they have been better in pass protection, but they certainly haven't been near consistent enough. Look at how many times Jordan Love has to be falling away when he's delivering the football because there's pressure right in his lap. You know, we all hoped that this offensive line would be a step forward from what we had seen the last couple of years. And if anything, it's been a step back. So I hear you, man. I feel that the frustration is very real, but at some point they do need to execute up front. They do need to play better on a more consistent basis. Matt LaFleur didn't make Savion Williams fumble. Matt LaFleur didn't make Jordan Love throw it into triple coverage. You know, guys got to execute. It would help extremely. Charlie? Is it true the Panthers pick not defer or receive? Charlie, I can't really give you an answer, because I got to admit, when we're doing the pregame show here on the watch party, I don't really know anything that's being kind of talked about pregame, whether lineups or coin tosses or what have you, until kickoff. So I cannot tell you one way or the other. I'm sure someone in the chat will be able to give you the information. Ed, what's up, man? Will players who were on the practice squad but have been released get a Super Bowl ring when we win it this year? That is at the discretion of the Packers, and actually that decision gets made by Ed Policy. So we'll find out. Joe, what's up, man? I see Morgan at left tackle next year and Belton at right guard. I think Walker and Ryan, free agents, and Jenkins, big cap hit, will be gone. Too much change for 1 year? No, it's not too much change. I think there's possible new names and new places every single season, right? I think you're doing a lot of work there putting Belton at right guard. I know the fan base and some members of the media have really kind of already declared and projected him to be a guard, but they've done precious little to indicate that that's their long-term plan. They have mostly, if almost exclusively, run him at tackle. Now, that doesn't mean they couldn't come in next summer and start running him at guard, but they certainly have so far utilized him as a tackle, strictly. So, is it possible? Sure. The Morgan thing is interesting because, man, guard has not looked good on him. I do think he plays better on the left side, and he struggled on the right side, certainly against the Panthers. But even when he's playing left guard, I don't think he's been near consistent enough, especially for a guy with his promise, upside, all the reasons he got drafted in the first round, right? I am anxious to see him at left tackle, though. And I don't know if they are comfortable enough with that. I mean, he did some good work at left tackle this summer. But yeah, I do think, you know, at some point you can't pay everybody. You got to think Walker probably will be allowed to walk. Maybe they open it up for Morgan and possible competition. I think that's a very real possibility. Of course, that's all way down the line. Right now, they just got to beat the Eagles. Rai, how are you, man? Still 5-2-1. I'm sensing a bounce back on Monday Night Football. Go Pack, go. Yeah, I hear you, man. I said it yesterday. I do think they will look much better, much more prepared. I think they're going to give the Eagles a hell of a game. I have no idea if they're going to win or not. I mean, most games I've said, you know, this is a team the Packers should beat. That was true in Arizona. That was true last week against the Carolina Panthers. The Eagles are going to be a tough matchup, no doubt about it. Can they beat them? Absolutely. Will they? They got to play a pretty clean game, and that has been very difficult for them to do so against whatever level of competition. So, yeah, I agree. And what's kind of maddening, and there was some jokes going around on Twitter this afternoon about, you know, the Packers are still in the top 10 of DVOA, which would indicate, yeah, they are a good football team, right? On both sides of the ball, high-level play, etc. But that does make losing to the Panthers and Browns all the more frustrating. Because you are a good team that cannot get out of its own way and keeps dropping games to teams they should beat. You know, that's a frustration. Mike Witt, how are you, man? Hey, Nags, I am a proud realist / Eeyore, but I have never called for Matt LaFleur to be fired. However, the year after year of playing down your competition is very concerning. Wouldn't you agree? Well, I would agree, except I've seen it so many times with so many coaches. It's, you know, I guess I just kind of baked it into the formula at this point. Happened quite a bit with McCarthy. Even happened with Holmgren on occasion. Nowhere near kind of with the consistency that we've seen in recent years. But yeah, man, I don't know. It seems, for me anyway, to be a case of, you know, a team with all the talent in the world that is very young, very inconsistent, and definitely needs to find an ability to, you know, play down in and down out with a consistency that would belie their age, you know? And I know Gutekunst keeps talking about how they've played a lot of football. Well, they've played a lot of football, but they keep making similar mistakes again and again and again. I don't know, man. It's hard for me to, again, put that on the coaches, because at some point, you got to expect the players to execute. Matt LaFleur's not making them false start. Matt LaFleur's not making them line up offsides. Matt LaFleur's not holding anybody at the line of scrimmage. These are all the things that are making them go backwards or giving their opponent yardage on defense that are out of the control of the coaching staff. So I don't know, man. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to really lay the blame at one particular point. Now, look, it does end with the head coach. He is responsible. And at some point, Ed Policy may feel exactly like you do and say, you know what? I don't think this team is ready when it needs to be, week in and week out. I do think, and I've said this a couple times now over the course of the last calendar year, you know, LaFleur seems to want to get more and more control and tighter grip on his team. And I think by doing so, he makes his team play with a tension that is palpable. And this is not something you can quantify. It's not something you can point to on a spreadsheet. But, you know, when you're talking that Friday quote about Halloween, I don't give a shit if it's Halloween. I'm a tough-ass motherfucker, and we got a game to win. And then you go out and you play like you did. Well, okay, you had a game to win, but everyone, I guess, was what? Focused on the game? Apparently not. I just think sometimes the team is almost always a reflection of the coach and his attitude. And if you are so hell-bent on being a control freak, guys get, you know, seized up. They get tense. Trying sometimes too hard. Like, oh, I gotta show coach I can do it. And then you fumble. And then you have offsides. And then you have a illegal procedure, you know? I don't know, man, but it's hard for me to put it on just one thing. Nicholas, what's going on, man? How do you feel about shaking up the O-line? Jenkins back at guard, Ryan at center. It's possible. I'd be surprised, but, you know, they've kind of tried that once already coming out of the bye week when they sat down Sean Ryan and put in Jordan Morgan at right guard. And initially it worked. But, yeah, man, anything at this point, I'm fine with. I don't think they're going to do anything drastic. I think guys just need to play better. It's going to be interesting to see how they line up if Aaron Banks is unable to go after getting injured yet again against the Panthers. But really, any kind of move like you're suggesting wouldn't surprise me. Braden, what's up, man? Are we concerned with Jordan's vision downfield? He throws check down passes and guys are open downfield. It's not often he does this, but significant. Braden, you've just described every quarterback who ever played the game. Man, I know, like, especially that first play. He's got Musgrave flashing across the middle of the field, who's breaking wide open as he's hitting the check down to Jacobs. But, you know, they're playing in real time, fast as hell, on the field. It's really easy to see from the camera angles we're given on our sofas. This guy has 300 pounders coming after him. No, I'm not concerned about any of that. That's the game of football, and it happens literally to every quarterback every single week. No exceptions. The greatest quarterbacks have that happen, and the worst quarterbacks have that happen. That's just part of the game. Pac Daddy, how are you, man? One thing that might help the O-line would be to vary when we snap the ball relative to the play clock. 1,000,000,000%, Pac Daddy, tell him what he's won. A free mention here on Packers Daily. Yes. Yes, 1,000%, Pac Daddy. And it's interesting because if you'll remember, when they went to Detroit last year, and Detroit took advantage of exactly what you're talking about, much like we saw the Panthers do this past weekend. What they did the next week against the Seahawks was go tempo, especially early, in and out of the huddle, get up to the line of scrimmage and snap the ball. No adjustments, no ID the mic, none of that. They just got out of the huddle, got up to the line, and ran a play. And I suspect we're going to see that again against the Eagles on Monday night. Because, yes, you are gifting a defensive front the ability to get off at the snap of the ball when you know as a defender when the snap of the ball is going to occur. Because if they don't snap it, they're going to get a penalty. Could not agree more, man. I suspect that is going to be a focus on Monday night. Chad, what's up, man? Two top favorite bourbon choices. Go, Pack, go. The one in the cupboard and the one that's open. How's that? I'm not picky, man. I'm a simple man. Aaron Harper, how are you? I'm thinking 88 is going to ball out next year. I think he's going to ball out this year. Oh, it's rest of the year, you say. Yes. I do think he's going to surprise some people. I don't think he's ever going to replace Tucker Kraft, right? No one expects him to. He is a very different type of player. But I keep saying it. He had a very good summer. Really showed off some of his ability, some of his athleticism. I won't be surprised if he is productive. And I'm not saying he's going to be even close to replicating the type of production that Tucker Kraft was having, but he is going to be an asset, especially now, given the fact that he'll probably have, you know, a little part of the play sheet dedicated to plays where he is the main target. And I hope they get it to him early, get his confidence going. Because, yeah, he can be a weapon in this offense, no doubt about it. Porkmaster, what's up? I'm tired of being mad at the Packers, so I'm washing this week out of my mind, ready for Philly. It's a healthy approach, man. Sometimes it's all you got to do. Sometimes it's all you can do. Looking at a game like we just had, man, sometimes you just got to let it go. Move on to the next. It does help that, you know, for the team as far as getting healthy, etc., there's that extra day. It stinks for us as fans that we have to wait that extra day, man, waiting throughout all of Sunday to watch all this football, and then you got to wait another day until getting to Monday night. That's hard. But hey, we love it. We know it. And I'm with you. I'm on to the next. William, how are you, man? Thoughts on Asante Samuel Jr.? Worth a shot. Yes, I saw the headline yesterday. He's been cleared by renowned doctors, et cetera, et cetera. Which is all well and good, but you know, any team that would be interested would certainly have their own medical people look at him. I'd be very surprised if the Packers made that kind of move. I think Bo Melton is the answer to those questions. Mike, thanks again, man. Not a Packer question, but what are the Jets doing? Whoever plays them is going to have a second bye week, LOL. You know, they went all in on defense for such a long time. They have a new regime that is clearly not tied to these players, and they're getting draft picks, premium draft picks, to try and build their football team. Now, the trick, of course, is making sure you're around long enough to utilize those players, but I'm not surprised. You know, for all the, you know, kind of praise and kind of, I don't know, headlines that defense has made over the years, they were piss poor this year. You know, at some point, it's time to turn the page. And Sauce Gardner, Williams, etc., they were ready to move on, gather the picks that they can, and try and build something in the future. Now, of course, we all know when it comes to the Jets, they have to find a quarterback. They tried to take the swing with Aaron Rodgers and missed wildly. But, you know, that is until they figure that out. They've gone the Wilson route. They've gone the Darnold route. Darnold balling out now in Seattle. Until they figure that out, none of it really matters. But the best way to do that is collect these premium picks. They're going to have a top pick regardless because they're a terrible team. But they can package maybe those picks and get the quarterback at the top and then get another premium player. You know, they're in a good position moving forward to build something else. But what was on offer was somebody else's remnants, and they're trying to close that chapter. So I get it. It sucks for long-suffering Jets fans, but they're used to it at this point. Mike, thanks again, man. You think we miss 11 more than people anticipated? He was a Swiss Army knife for us the last couple of years. Just a thought. Well, I do, especially when you look at how he was used in that first game and even the first part of that Washington game. But at the same time, you got to remember, he did really kind of disappeared on the second half of last season. Now, you know, some of that was usage and some of that was drops, etc. But I do think, yeah, there's no doubt that he has a long history of being at the right place, right time, being utilized in a way that helps the team, you know, move the sticks, get in position and score some points. No doubt about it. Lieutenant Dan, next, can you update YouTube on for happy hour? Yes, it'll be, the information will be up as soon as we're done here, which will be momentarily. Dave, how are you, man? Did you notice any lack of downhill running from the gun with speed from Josh Jacobs? I feel like we see way too many slow-moving shotgun runs. I hate shotgun runs in general, Dave. I don't know about speed. I don't know about, you know, how they want to utilize zone, power, whatever. From the gun, I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate it with a passion. I hated it when they used it with A.J. Dillon. I hate it now when they use it with Josh Jacobs. And look, I understand there are certainly plays you can point to where Josh Jacobs is successful running out of the gun. But I love this offense when Love is under center and the back is behind him by a good margin and he can get ahead of steam going. You saw it a couple times against the Panthers. I just think they are a better team when they're operating that way. And then utilize that to get Love out on a gun on play action. They killed teams with that shit in 2023 with Jordan Love and Aaron Jones. I understand Jacobs is a different back, the different style, but you could still utilize some of the stuff that you utilized in 2023 under center with Josh Jacobs. And I think you'd start cooking. And I get one of the main reasons, and this is, I haven't talked to him, but you know, my guesswork would be one of the main reasons Matt loves working so much out of the gun. All those runs set guys up to attack Josh Jacobs, etc., stacking boxes, triggering, and now Jordan Love is free to throw it. And all of our favorites, you know, the wide receiver screen, the swing into the flat, the running back. And yeah, sometimes it's frustrating as hell, certainly this pass game. But at other times, you've got things like the touchdown to Tucker Kraft against the Steelers. His first touchdown was a run solution. That was a called run play. So I get the conception of it. I hate it in practice. And I wish they'd go heavy under center and start running Josh Jacobs downhill between the tackles and then work play action off of that. That's my wish list. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but that's where I would love to see this offense live. Stanley, thank you, sir. A lot of ball game left. We need to go back under center, get the run game going. Look at you. Didn't even see that when I was talking and we're in lockstep. Could not agree more, my guy. All right, buddy, I got to get going. Can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.